If we get thunderstorms before 4 o'clock, does that mean the forecast is wrong?
What it means is that the thunderstorm gets paid overtime.
Okay. And we're joined by Mr. Paul Pradecker, Chief Flight Inspector of Air Wisconsin, I believe you said?
Chief Flight Instructor.
Oh, instructor. Yeah. Inspector. You know, ooh,
I do some inspecting too, I suppose.
I guess.
Well, you're inspecting your pilots is what you're doing.
That's right.
Making sure that they're good enough.
Now, is Air Wisconsin, tell us about Air Wisconsin. Small outfit, large outfit?
Air Wisconsin is is the largest privately held regional airline in the country. And our headquarters are just up the road in Appleton. And we fly a fleet of 70 Canadair CL-65 regional jets. And we're currently flying under the U.S. Air Express label. Our crew bases are in Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and Norfolk, Virginia. And we fly to, we have about 500 departures a day in 73 cities around the country and also to a couple of the Canadian provinces.
Well, that sounds like that'd be a pretty good place to work if you wanted to fly.
We're hiring now. And, you know, after the events of 9/11, the airline industry was really struggling, as was a lot of other avenues in aviation. And there was no hiring going on. There was no movement in the industry. But as time has gone on, the industry is rebounding. And we see a lot of movement in the industry in terms of pilot hiring. The majors are hiring again. Some of the furlough pilots are coming back. And the regional airlines that are supporting the major airlines are hiring as well. We're currently trying to fill classes of about 28 pilots a month. And this is a new thing for us because up until January of this year, we weren't really hiring very much at all. But now some of our pilots are leaving the company and going on to the other airlines, which is creating some opportunities for some pilots. So we're very happy to see the movement.
So the adage that it was always tough for a new pilot to get a job because there were so many more experienced pilots looking for jobs, that doesn't necessarily apply anymore.
You know, Dave, it's 8 years ago I joined Air Wisconsin, and at that time the requirements were 2,500 hours of total time, and we needed 1,000 hours of turbine. So, of course, if you need the turbine time, you know, where are you going to get that except with previous airline experience or out of the military? And today, our requirements for pilots are 500 hours of total time and 125 hours of multi-engine time. And this is a trend that's been in the industry now for the past few months where the regional airlines have lowered their minimums and they've increased their training and to get these folks through.
Right, and to bring them up to speed.
Absolutely.
They don't have the experience, but we're going to train them up.
Absolutely.
And I guess simulators play a part in there, too.
Our simulator center is located in the U.S. Air Training Facility down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we keep that simulator busy full-time. We have about 850 pilots on staff right now. And, again, that's our pilot load for about 70 aircraft that are flying about 10.5 to 11 hours a day. And because our hiring has increased, that also triggers movement within our company. So when we bring on new hires, that also triggers upgrades. So the people who have been first officers can now upgrade to captain. So that triggers a training event. And in addition, we just have regular recurrent training that we're doing all the time. So we've just about grown out of our time in Charlotte, and we've got simulator time around the country. We're looking at simulator time in Denver and up in Toronto and Montreal to try to get all of this training done. And, of course, it's key to keeping the airline staffed, you know, so that we can keep the flights going. In addition to hiring pilots, the company is also looking for mechanics. We're looking for dispatchers. We're looking for passenger service agents. It's just a lot of movement in the industry right now that we're happy to see. And, you know, when you come to EAA and you see that everything that's happening here with new light sport aircraft, new personal jets, improvements in avionics, it seems like there's a resurgence in the entire aviation industry. And the one thing that we've looked at is the number of commercial pilots that have finished their training over the last 5 years is actually down quite a lot. And this is...
Well, after 9/11, nobody wanted to be a
pilot.
That's
right. That's right. And that's part of the problem is that it's now catching up to us to where we're having some, you know, staffing issues, but, you know, it's creating some opportunities for people. Well, and a lot of our people are coming out of the Part 91 environment, you know, flight instructing, maybe some Part 135 operations. We get a few people from the other regional airlines, but we're really looking to the core group of general aviation pilots to fill our needs.
Well yeah, that's a big departure.
A lot of people that come out of the general aviation environment, they want to know a little bit more about what a training program is like at the airlines. And basically what happens for a new hire who comes into our company is for the first 2 weeks, it's called company in-doc. And it's a week of company policies and procedures about how we run the operation of the airline. It's a week of rules and regulations that are particular to the airline industry. So they get introduced to areas of the rules and regs that they haven't seen in maybe a Part 135 operation. So they have 2 weeks of NDOC, and that's typically in Appleton, Wisconsin. Following that 2 weeks, they go down to Charlotte, North Carolina, where our training center is down there, and they have 2 weeks of systems where they're learning the systems of the aircraft.
That actually sounds like a very intense pace.
It is a very intense pace. It's funny, we tell people it's a self-paced course, but in reality, it can be self-paced as long as you finish it in 2 weeks.
Right.
So that's the rule. And it's computer-based training, supplemented with, guided, discussion and lecture from an instructor in our training department. And after that 2 weeks is over, they take a short break, and they come in for a four-day session of procedures training, which is mainly how to get people to recognize how to work in a crew environment. Checklists, call-outs, profiles, what to say, what not to say.
Resource management.
All of that. We're trying to bring people up. If you've only done flight instructing or you've only done single pilot, you might be able to fly the airplane okay, but it's more than that. You have to work in a crew environment and make sure that everything is standard. So they go through 4 days of kind of an orientation of profiles and procedures. And then the sim training program, which is where they really get down to, learning about how to fly the airplane.
That's where you soak a lot of shirts.
Yep, you bet. It's always hotter in the seat, for the pilot who's flying. Two students are paired up, and their flight their instructor is in the simulator with them. And they get eight lessons, a check ride, and then a kind of a summary flight. So each simulator session is 4 hours, and they split that. So in reality, we're taking somebody who's maybe never been in a jet or never been in a 121 environment, and essentially in, 8 4-hour sessions, they get their check ride. And, of course, if they're certified, then, we sign them off, and they're ready to go. And then following that, they start flying with a supervising captain who is doing what we call, initial operating experience. And that captain is there really not so much to show the guy how to fly, because he's demonstrated that in the simulator, but how the operation works, how to deal with some of the busier airports. We fly in some of the most congested airspace in the country.
We're Philadelphia.
We're into LaGuardia. We're into Washington, D.C. We have a lot of special procedures. So the supervising captains are there to help the new pilots, work through that and be comfortable and confident.
Well, as the chief flight instructor, what are your duties specifically?
As time has gone on, I used to do training of the new pilots as well as doing actual training of our captain upgrades. And what I'm doing now is I'm sort of overseeing our training department. We have a instructor staff that's, we have our ground instructors, we have the simulator instructors, and then we have our supervising captains who are out flying the line. I'm overseeing that, and my primary responsibility is to make sure that the people are getting through training and that we're covering everything that we need to cover and that we're doing it standard. And you know how pilots are. Every pilot thinks they can, they have a little twist on something that they can do better. And for some of that, that's okay. But the airline industry works on being standard in the cockpit. I mean, it should work that two people can walk into the cockpit, shake hands, and 20 minutes later have it up and running and ready to go without ever having, talked to each other or even met each other. And standardization is the key for us to, operate safe and effectively. So I watch the standardization and make sure that the instructors are representing our procedures like they should.
I would think that's probably the toughest part to teach them.
Sometimes it is.
There's because so many everybody individuals. Wants.
And every instructor brings to the table their own experiences, which, they use. And we like that. And we like to have a varied instructor group because we have, a pilot group with varied experience. So we like the fact that our instructors can bring different things to the table. And that's fine as long as they adapt it to the procedures, of how we like people to fly the airplanes.
The sign on the door says, leave your attitude outside.
When I first came to the airline, we had a fleet of Dornier 328 turboprops, and that was not an exceptionally popular airplane in the industry. I think they only made 125 of them. Therefore, they didn't have any simulators that were accessible. So we actually trained in the airplane in the middle of the night. We'd take two students up, and I'd go up with the students for 4 or 5 hours, and we'd fly all night. We just had to get the airplane back before the first departure of the day. And it was nice to actually train in the airplane, but the simulator training is absolutely marvelous because you can simulate all the emergencies that you want to work with, all the special procedures, all the weather that you want to create, and you can just take advantage of so many things that the simulator training is perfect. And a lot of people, may not understand this, but Once we finish simulator training, the first time they're on the airplane, you know, is with a revenue flight. So it's really quite good.
Well, we're gonna drop out. I just want to add this. I have a friend who flies commercially, and he said when you're in a simulator, the engines never work.
That's
always
right.
Break.
You spend a lot of time flying around with one engine. That's right.
Well, again, thank you for
my pleasure
coming over, and I'll get my resume right to you.
Do that.
There's no flying on it at all, but I'll send you a resume anyway.
That's great.
If nothing else,
you do good radio. We could probably use you.
There you go. There you go.
If nothing else, we could always be baggage handlers
or a pretty face.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Take
Paul.
Take care.